Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We begin from the very top line with the words Rav Ado Bar Abba. We continue to learn for the safety and success of the Chayalim. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim. They should be safe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant them all the refuah shleima, those in need. And the Ezes Hashem, there should be Shalom al Kol Klai Yisrael. Okay, Kuf Yud Beis, I'm now at the top line. We remind ourselves that in yesterday's share we had brought down a Shita from Rami Bar Chama, who said that from our Mishnah, we can see that if Rahman al-Islam, Reuven had something stolen from him, Shimon stole something from Reuven, and then he gave it over to his inheritors. Shimon dies with the Geneva in his possession, and his inheritors get it. So the Yorishim are considered after there is Yeish to be a Shinoi Rishus, and therefore the Yorishim don't have to go and give the item back. They, of course, should. They should, of course, try to rectify the sins that their father had done. But there's no chiyuv upon them in a beis din to go and return the item. That is what Rami Bar Chama said in yesterday's shir. Today we have a different version of Rami Bar Chama. Rav Ado Bar Abba, masnei l'ho de Rami Bar Chama, aha. Rav Ado Bar Abba learned Rami Bar Chama's statement in a slightly different context. He learned it in the following braisa. Here this braisa tells us, Hiniach lohem avien mos sheribis. If Rahman al-Islan, the father dies and leaves over to his sons Yerusha, but that Yerusha included money that was obtained illegally. It was obtained through ribis. Now, obviously, you're not allowed to take ribis from another Jew, and you have to go and return that ribis if you did in fact take it in order to rectify the sin that you did. So the father did not do this in his lifetime, and now he yarshins over to his children ribis money. So afa pi sheyodin shein shel ribis, even though the children know that this is ribis money, again, meidin hashamayim to be yotze bidei shamayim, they should of course return the money, and of course they should try to rectify their father's misdeeds. However, in a beis din, even though we know, the children know, that this is ribis money, ein chayovim l'hachzu. Braisa says they do not have an obligation to return the ribis money to the original owner. Now, this ribis is a little bit like the geneva, and they're the yarshim. So it's somewhat parallel to what we learned from Rami Bar Chama yesterday in the case when the person was a ganav, he physically stole the money. Now there was Yeyush, and it's inherited over to his children. They don't have to return it. That's what Rami Bar Chama said in yesterday's shir. But today, Rami Bar Chama, based upon this braisa, tells us, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Zoso Meris, we can see from here, from our braisa today, with the ribis, Rishus Yoresh, Ki Rishus Lokeach Domi, that the Rishus of the Yorishim is considered no different than if he had sold it in his lifetime. If the person who did the Geneva in yesterday's year sold it, so the Lekuchos certainly don't have to go and give it back. Because there was Yeyush, and now there's a Shina Rishus. So too, today, Rami Bar Chama says, the same thing can be learned from our Braisa today, that in fact, the children over here who Yarshin, this Ribbis, are no different than if the man with the Ribbis had sold that item. Let's say the Ribbis was an item that he sold or gave over to a third party. So then, the Lekuchos in that situation certainly have no obligation to return the ribis, and so too, the Yorshim, Rami Bar Chama tells us today, are in the same situation. Yorish, Kirishus Lokeach Domi. So we learned it yesterday in the name of Rami Bar Chama on the case of the Gzela, and we learn it today in the name of Rav Ado Bar Abba, understanding of Rami Bar Chama, learning it out from the Braisa that the Rishus of the Yorshim is considered no different than Rishus Lokeach. So they have two statements. Rami Bar Chama will ask in a moment, does one automatically mean the other? Rava tells us, however, differently. Rava first tells us, Rava Ma'liolam Emeloch, that you can't learn like Rav Ado Bar Abba is telling us that Rami Bar Chama learned today, because Rava says, Liolam Emeloch, that Rishus Yoresh Lav Ki Rishus Lokeach Domi. In our Braisa, you could make an argument that in general, you cannot learn that the Rishus of the Yorshim is no different than a purchaser. Maybe, in fact, the Rishus of the Yorshim is still like their father. Why? Because the case of Ribbis is different. Vashayni Hocha, Ribbis is different because here you have a specific pasuk telling us, the Yom HaKra, Al Tikach Meito Neshech Vesavis, and now you go take Ribbis. And if you do take Ribbis, the pasuk continues, it says, Yoreis Melokecha, V'chei Ochicha Imoch, that you have to go and make sure that he lives with you. In other words, you have to go and return the ribis to him so he will have money. So, Ahadele Kihechi Denechi Bahadoch, in order to fulfill the second part of the pasuk, V'chei Ochicha Imoch, you have an obligation to return the ribis. And that V'chei achicha imach was specifically only stated to the one who did the ribbis, the one who took the ribbis. L'didei komazir le'rachmana. Only to him does the Torah specifically state, you have to go and return the ribbis livrei. But to the arshim, to his children, lo masir le'rachmana. The Torah did not command them, v'chei achicha imach. It's only the one who took the ribbis that has this obligation. So Rava says, from this din of ribbis, this brisa, you cannot necessarily learn out that the rishus of the yoresh is kirishus lokeach domi. Now, man demasne law brisa, according to the understanding today, Ravan de Bar Ava, who learned that Rami Bar Chama said it on the brisa, if you hold it that Rami Bar Chama's din applies to today's brisa with the ribbis, so then certainly, kol shekeinam asdisa, then certainly this opinion would agree with the statement that we have from the Mishnah, because geneva is a more active form of taking the possession from the person who was nignav, because the person who was nignav did not give you permission to go and take that, albeit he had yeyush, so the shina rishus can take effect there. But if it can take effect in a situation where there was an active geneva, so certainly it will take effect in a situation where there was a din of ribbis, where ribbis is both parties agreed to it. The one who gave the ribbis should not have do so. He has a prohibition on him as well, but he willingly gave the ribbis. So if the din is that the yoresh is a lokeach in regards to the din of ribbis, then Allah has kama v'kama. Certainly he would be a lokeach in regards to the din of the geneva. But the other way around, man demasi lo masdisim, but the opinion that said, yesterday was Rami Bar Chama's din, only in the case of the geneva is the person considered to be a yoresh kirishus lokeach dami. That would only be true there. Avol abraisa, one could argue, no, Rami Bar Chama could rather masli lay that. No, maybe in the case of ribbis, it's only talking about the person who has an obligation to do so is the chei achicho imach, is the one who took the ribbis. But lav dafka, does that carry over to his children? Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabban, we learned the following brisa, Hagozel umachil esbanov. We learned in our Mishnah similarly, the brisa tells us, if somebody never stole something and then gave it over to his children, so they ate it up, umachil esbanov, so it's no longer extant. So in this situation, piturin melushalim, they do not have to go and pay for it. Again, midin b'nei adam, that's in a basin. He niach lefneim. However, if he left it before them, so it's still extant, so then, gedolim chayovim l'shalim, the brisa says that the children that are above the age of bar mitzvah, the gedolim children, so they have an obligation to go and return it. However, the ketanim p'turim l'shalim, the ketanim have no obligation to go and return it. Rashi explains that in the gedolim chayovim l'shalim, so this is v'rami bar chama muki lo lifnei yeyush. This must be talking about before there was yeyush, because as we just learned, once there's yeyush, so then Rami bar chama said that the rishus of the yoresh is kerushus lokeach dami, who would certainly not have to go and give it back. So once there's yeyush, everybody would agree you don't have to give it back. But this is talking about before yeyush, Rashi explains, and therefore the gedolim have to give it back. But the ketanim, Rashi says, are peturim. Why? Because the lav b'nei dinanina, because they can't be taken to court. They're not potential litigants in a case. The afapi de gzeilo kayemis, and this is true even though the item is extant. However, miu mechsra guviana, they can't be collected even though it's extant, because you can't take ketanim to a base din. They can't be litigants in a din. And this is the opinion, Rashi says, v'sumchasu depotur ketanim l'kamon. As we'll see in a moment, this is the opinion of sumchas. So the Braisa tells us the gedolim have to go and return it because this is before yeyush, but the ketanim are peturim milishalim. They do not go and return it. They can't take them to base din. Aye. The im omru gedolim, but if the gedolim were to say, listen, ein onu yodim cheshbonos shechishe v'avinu imcha, we do not know our father's business dealings with you, maybe he returned it, and therefore we don't think we have to give it back to you, so then peturim, then they are in fact going to be peturim. Now, more questions, this and says, really? Mishum da'amri ein onu yodim peturim? Because they say, we don't know if our father owes you the money, so they don't have to go pay it back. As Rashi says, this is a lashon of bismiyah. This is a shocking thing. Ho v'yodim shebegzeila b'olio, though nobody's doubting that he stole it. That's the only way he got the property. Nobody's claiming that he bought it. Nobody's claiming that it was given to him as a present. Everybody agrees that it was stolen. So therefore, that's a bari. It definitely came into his possession as thievery. And now they're giving a taina of Shema. B'Shema who? They're saying maybe our father paid it back. We don't know our father's business dealings. So this is a classical case of Bari and Shema and Bari Yadif. So therefore, how can you tell us that if the adult children say, we're not sure what went on over here, so we don't want to return it, that they don't have to return it? It's a vadai that the father stole it, and they're saying, maybe he paid you back, maybe he didn't. So unless you can bring proof, you have to go pay it back. So what's going on over here? So Rav explains, no. Oh, come on. This is what the Braisa really said. The Braisa is telling us the Gedolim Sha'amu, if the Gedolim were the business partners of their father, and Yodim Anu Cheshbonos Shechishiv Avinu Imcha, and we know very, very well every deal that our father had with you. And yes, he did steal this from you, but we heard him say, I'm sorry that I did this, and we heard him say, I'm giving him back the money. So then it's no longer a Shema and Bari, now it's a Bari Ubari, Velo Poshloch Gabe Velo Midi. And our father has absolutely nothing left of yours in his possession. He returned to you the Gzela. So if they make such a statement, then in fact, Piturin, they would in fact be Piturin. And Tosus explains in Dibur Masav Lo Posh, he says, Migu, because they have a Migu that they could have said, Shayu Yecholim Lomar, Hechzarnu Lucha, because they could have given a better, more believable Taina saying, yes, our father stole it and we returned it to you. So since there is no proof that the father did not return it to them, the person who was Nignav doesn't have definitive proof. All he has proof is that originally Shimon stole it from him, so the Yarshim could have tined it, we returned it to you. So they have a Migu. Since they could have tined it, we returned it to you, and they definitely win, so they should be believed to say that our father returned it to you. Alternatively, Tosk is a second teretz, Inami, Kigon She'ein Ede Gezela. There are no witnesses to the Gezela. How do we know that Shimon has it as a gezela in his possession from Reuven? Elohodos habanim bovad. The children said, our father stole this from you, but we know he paid it back to you. So the only way we know that this was a stolen item was because the children said so. So since the children said so, they have amigo. Since they could have said, no, nothing, they didn't have to say that our father stole it from you. So since they said, our father stole it from you, believe them when they say, and he also returned it to you. Okay. Another braisa, Tanya Idok, the next braisa tells us, Hagozilu Machil Barat, if a person, Rechmon Lestan, steals and he gives it over to his children, so it says, Piturim Milishalim, they do not have to go and pay it back. However, that's because, Hechilim, it's no longer there. He Niach Lifneihem Vacholim, but if he gave it to them and they ate it, so they ate it after the father had died, so in this situation, so then, this braisa says, ben gedolim, ben ketanim chayavim. Then, certainly the gedolim, but even the ketanim would have to go and return it if it's extant. Rashi explains, hiniach lifnehem, badayin lo acholim. It wasn't eaten during his lifetime. So, afilu ketanim chayavim. In this situation, since it was present at the time that they inherited it, so afilu ketanim chayav, kivan de gzela kayemes birishusa demaruhu. Since the gzela was in their possession, it still belonged to the original owner, and this is obviously, Rashi says, v'rabonhu, the pligiel of the sumchus. This is obviously the opinion of the Chachamim that disagree with sumchus and say that you can, in fact, the Chachamim hold, you can bring children under the age of bar mitzvah to a beis din and litigate. And below tixia brisa del el the amar gedolim chayav ketanim p'turim, and that's why the previous brisa was sumchus, and this brisa is the Chacham's opinion. And obviously, we're talking here that the original owner did not yet give up hope. So this is before Yeyush. Now the Gemara says ketanim mi mechayve. Really, do we say that the ketanim are liable? I understand that you could possibly take him to a beis din, but how could the ketanim be held liable? After all, lo yehi ella the azik azuke. They shouldn't be in a worse position than if they actively did damage. If a carton actually does damage, he doesn't have to pay. He's not held accountable for his actions. And Rashi brings down, this is a Beferish Gemara that we have. Nichnas l'chotzer d'nigzal v'ziko, if they go into the person's possessions and they damage it, mimechai v'ketanum, we don't hold ketanum liable. To call it pay l'shalem, because we learned on that pay zayin, the heim shechov l'biachayim peturim. If a katan goes and does damage, you can't take him to beis din. He's potter. V'hachol kivin da'acholim. Since they ate it over here, how's it any difference? Man kofei lehu, who is going to make them go and pay l'shlume? So therefore, how can this possibly be the din that the katanim have to go and pay? So Rav Papa explains, I'm a Rav Papa, this is what the Braisa is telling us. No, they didn't yet eat it. So it's extant. So this goes like the opinion of the Chacham, that you can take minors to a court, and therefore, because it's extant, and this is pre-Yeyush. Okay, and this is the opinion of the Chachamim. Again, the previous price, it was the opinion of Sumchus. Amar Rava, Rava tells us, here we have a situation where the father had borrowed a cow. He didn't steal it. He had borrowed this cow, and then he passed away. Now, let's say he had borrowed it for 30 days, and he dies after 10 days. So there's still 20 days left in this period of time that he had borrowed the cow. So he niach lemaviim parashula, and then he dies. So mishtamshin ba kol yemei shelasa. So the children have the right to continue using that cow for the additional 20 days left in the 30-day borrowing period of time that their father was entitled to. Meisa, but if the cow dies, ein chayavim ba'on seha. It didn't die meisa machamas v'locha. There was a hurricane, and the barn got blown to the ground, and the animals inside of it died, including this borrowed cow. So normally, a shoal is chayav for onsin. He's only part of meisa machamas v'locha. And it didn't die meisa machamas v'locha. It died through some accident, a total accident. Nevertheless, in this situation, the children aren't considered a shoal in regards to this din, and therefore they aren't held liable. The Mefarshim explained that when the father died, so then the person who lent the cow agreed to let them have it, but he didn't make them into shoalim. He didn't carry over the responsibility that a shoal had and enforce that upon the children, because he could have demanded his cow back unless they say, okay, and you will now be borrowers from me, and you will have all the responsibilities of a borrower, which would include being chayav for everything but meisa machmas melacha. Okay, now, that's the first case that we have over here. Rav is telling us that the children in this situation, meisa, if the cow dies, ain't chayav in bonsel, they're not chayav for onsen. Next case, kisvurim shalaviim hi, if the children thought that this cow was not a borrowed cow, they thought it was their father's cow. No, and they wanted a barbecue. They're making a shloshim, and they make a barbecue in honor of their father. Utvachua v'achaluha. And they shechted it, and then they ate it. So what's the din? So, again, they're not held accountable, but they're held accountable to a certain extent. So, mishalmin d'mei basar bizol. They go and pay for the meat at a discounted price, because, after all, they did have to eat supper. And even though you could argue, well, they would have had Cheerios for $1 instead of meat for $10. No, the bottom line is, if you had offered them, even if somebody's going to have Cheerios, planning on having a less expensive supper, but you could tell them, I'll give you a great discount on meat, which Rashi explains is a 2/3 price that they'd have to pay. They'd get a 1/3 off, so everybody would then jump and buy the meat at such a low discounted price. So therefore, these children would have bought the meat and eaten the meat if it had been discounted. So therefore, we make them pay at the discounted price. B'shalmim d'mei basar bizol. That's how we understand the second part of Rava's statement. Now, heniach lohem aviyem achrayis nechasim. But if the father had also inherited to them property that has potential for achrayis, such as, let's say, karka, or it was a house, so there is a lien on this property from the father's estate, so then in this situation, they would have to go and pay for this animal if there was leaned property. So that's what Rava said. Now, we had two cases of Rava, and then at the end he said if there was leaned property, there was a karka, let's say, then they'd have to go and pay. Now, which statement did, if there was leaned property, chayav l'shalim, did it go on? The first statement of Rava or the second statement of Rava? So, ikar d'masi la reisha, and we'll see, ikar d'masi la sefer. There are those that held that this statement that if there was property, real property, like a house or karka, that chayav l'shalim goes on the reisha, on the first statement that Rava had made, the case of hiniach l'maviyim parish ula, and mishtam shimbo koi meshi losa, and mesa in chayav b'yon seah. And then there were those that said it went on the second case of Tvachua v'achalua, because they thought it was their father's, so they have to pay Mishamim d'mei basar only bizol and not at the regular full price. So Ika d'masi la reisha, Ika d'masi la sefer. Let's understand this. Man d'masi la reisha, the opinion that says that if the father left them karka, and there's a achrayis on the karka, there's a lien on this karka for anything that the father owes, so then chayav l'shalem, so that if you hold that this goes on the first case, where the animal died via onsen and the children don't have to pay, but if the father had karka, so then chayav l'shalem. So if you hold it goes on that, so man d'matzi l'areisha, certainly kol shekein haseifa, where they actively went and shechted the animal. The hurricane came and killed the animal in the first case, and if you say you chayav over there if there's karka, so Allah has kama v'kama in the second case, where they actively shechted the animal, so then they would have to go and pay if the father left them karka. Certainly that would be true. However, upliga de rapapa, this is not in accord with what Rapapa said, which we'll see in a moment, what Rapapa said. But according to the opinion, man de masi la seifa, according to the opinion that said that if the father left them karka, chayav l'shalim, to his property with a chayis, then the chayav to pay only goes on the seifa where they actively went and shechted it, so then, aval areish lo, because that was onsen, and maybe there, even though the father left them karka, they wouldn't be obligated to pay. And that would be in accord, v'hainu dirab papa. So if you hold it only goes on the Sefer, so then that's in accord with Rav Papa. If you hold it, it goes on the Reisha, and certainly the Sefer, then that's not in accord with Rav Papa. Now, what did Rav Papa say? That we're saying, V'hainu de Rav Papa, V'hainu lav de Rav Papa. Because the Omer Rav Papa holds, Ha'isa paro genuva lo, utfacha b'Shabbos. Somebody stole an animal before Shabbos, so he took possession of the animal before Shabbos, and now he went and shechted it on Shabbos. Now, normally we have a rule of kom le midirabba b'nei. We said this many times, that if at the time that you do an isser, that is a capital crime, you simultaneously also have a financial obligation, so then we push aside the financial obligation and just give you the capital crime. So that's called kom le midirabba b'nei. Now, in this situation, he shechted it on Shabbos. That's an issur d'oraisa. He's chayav misa. But he also causes the financial liability. Since it was stolen, so he now would have to pay the dalad v'hei. He'd have to pay the additional money above kefal for stealing either the shor or the sad. The additional two or three times that he'd have to pay two additional times above kefal for a set, and three additional times above kefal for the stealing of the shor and shechting the shor or selling the shor. So now, he has to go and pay the dalad v'hei. Why? Shekvar chayav b'gneva. Kodem shiovali de isur Shabbos. We don't say over here, kom le midrabba b'nei, because the requirement or the obligation to go and pay already occurred before Shabbos when he stole the item before Shabbos. So it's already considered that the obligation to pay the kefil and the dalad hay, so to say, has already taken effect from the time of the geneva and not from the time of the tvicha. However, if it wasn't stolen, it was borrowed. So it's legally in his possession. He has not transferred it over into his possession by stealing it. It's legally in his possession, but it still belongs to the person that he borrowed it from. And now he goes and shechs it on Shabbos. He steals it and shechs it on Shabbos. Ha'isa parish ulalo was a borrowed cow. He hasn't yet brought it into his possession. And he simultaneously steals it and shechs it this Shabbos. So now we do have kom le midrabba b'nei, because at the time that he's actually doing this thievery by shechting the animal, so he's also chayv misa. So therefore, this is kom le midrabba b'nei and potter. That is the din. She'isur Shabbos v'isur gineva b'ayin kiyachar. Because here, in this situation, we do have kom le midrabba b'nei. They're occurring simultaneously, and you only chayv capital punishment and not the financial penalty. So this din of Rav Papa is in accord with the understanding that it only, the statement that if he gives the Yorshim, if there is property that has a chayis on it, so then they have to pay. So this is in accord with Rav Papa only if you say it goes on the second, but not the first case. If you say it goes on both cases, so then it's not in accord with Rav Papa. Okay, Tana Rabban, we learn the following brayso, famous pasuk that we've had many times. V'heishiv is like zeilu shagaza. The ganav has to go and return the item that he stole if it's still extant. Now, why did it have to tell us ashagaza? Again, we've explained this many times. It says you have to return the item that you stole. So what does it say? That you stole. So it says, V'heishiv is like zeilu. Return the stolen item that you stole is unnecessary. So yachzir ke'ein shagaza. This teaches us that you have to return it, the item, if it's still there. Yachzir ke'ein shegaza. You have to return the item that you stole, just like it was when you stole it, implying that if it's no longer there, you're not obligated to go and return it. You only have the obligation to return that item that you stole, not its value, but the item that you stole. So Rashi tells us three lines from the bottom. Klomar. Im gezelo kayemes yachzir. If the item is extant, then you have an obligation to return it. Avol ein gezelo kayemes potter. But if it's not there, then technically you have no obligation to return it because it's not there. Ubedidei leko leukma elibubadim. Now, how could you possibly understand this? If it's talking about the ganav, of course he has to go and pay for the item that he stole, even if it's not there. So obviously, Mikan Omru, this case must be talking about Hagozel Umachel's bottom. It's talking about when somebody stole it and gave it over to his children. Now, they are Peturim Milashalim because they ate it. Umachal is bottom, it's gone. So the children have no obligation to go and pay for it. The Ganav would if he was still around. He niyat lefneim, but if he left it for them, so it's still extant, and this is before there was Yeyush, so ben gedolim, ben kitanim, chayavim, then there is an obligation to go return it. And this is, as we had learned previously, this is the opinion of the Chachamim. They say you can take the minors to court. They can be parties to a litigation because this stolen item is in their possession. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. And here's where we have Sumchas. Mishum Sumchas Amru. Sumchas disagrees. It says, yes, the Gedolim, I agree, Chayav. They can be taken to court. The item is extant. It's before Yeish. Yes, they have to return it to fulfill this idea. The Yeish is exalish Shagaza. However, the Ketanim of Peturim. The Ketanim can't be brought to court. The Ketanim cannot be litigants in a Din Torah. Now, Maisa Shaya, Bar Chamua, the son of the father-in-law. In other words, the Rav Yirmiyah was married, so his father-in-law had a son that Rav Yirmiyah was having a din Torah with. So Bar Chamua, the Rav Yirmiyah, Torak Gale Biape, the Rav Yirmiyah. They were having a litigation about the house that belonged to the father-in-law. Rav Yirmiyah's father-in-law had a house. Rav Yirmiyah is not an inheritor of him, but Rav Yirmiyah claimed that this house was given to him while the father-in-law was still alive. The son who inherits the father-in-law over here, the son of the father-in-law, says, no, this is my Yerusha, and it doesn't belong to you. And he literally closed the door. Torak Gali. Rashi says, Deles Pesucha, the days of Aviv, Sagar. He closed the door. And he didn't allow his brother-in-law, Rav Yirmiyah, to go and enter the house. Right? Rav Yirmiyah was married to the guy's sister. And he didn't allow him to go and enter the house. Rav Yirmiyah wanted to take the house. So the brother-in-law didn't let him in. The son of the father-in-law didn't let him in. So also lekame the Rav Oven. So they brought it to a din Torah to Rav Oven. What did Rav Oven paskin? Omar, he said, Shalohu Toveya. This son of your father-in-law is claiming what is his. He says, I'm the Yorish, right? And he's a Bari. It definitely belonged to his father. Nobody's doubting that. You're not claiming that it never belonged to your father-in-law. You agree it belonged to your father, and you're saying you purchased it from him, he gave it to you as a matana. However, it came into your possession. That's what your claim is. He has a vaday that it definitely was his. So therefore, we leave it in his possession. So that's what Rav Avin Paskin, Shalohu Toveya. And unless you have a clear-cut raya, so then we leave it in his possession. So Rav Avin says, I do have a clear-cut raya. Amalei, Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav Avin, V'ha, Maisina Sahade, I can bring witnesses, the Achziki Bey B'chaye Davua, that I made a Kinyan Chazaka on this. What do we mean? So the din is when you purchase something, you should have a shtar. But we can't expect the person to have a shtar 50 years later, to hold on to the shtar. So as long as you have a valid way, legal way, how this came into your possession, you claim it was given to you as a matana, or you purchased it, and even though you no longer have that shtar, but if you lived there for 3 years while the other person, the original Marakama, was around, so before he died, Rav Yirmiyah claimed, I have witnesses that I lived in this house for 3 years while my father-in-law was alive, and he didn't protest, so then I no longer need a shtar. I have a valid explanation as to how it got to me. You can't just say, well, nobody was living here, so I walked in there and I've been living there for 3 years. That's not a valid explanation. You say that I purchased it from my father-in-law. He gave it to me as a gift, and I have Eidei Chazaka, that I've lived there for 3 years, and he did not protest. So that is a valid claim. And therefore, I have witnesses that I have a valid claim, and therefore, I should get the house. So Amalei, Rav Avin said to him, but your father-in-law is no longer here. Your father-in-law passed away. V'chim makablim edim, do we accept the testimony of these witnesses and return to Kuf Yudeis, Omid Beis? Shalom b'nei baldin, the father is not there. And the brother-in-law, your father-in-law's son, is a katan, and therefore the high katan, Rashi says, kimandale seidomi, and this son of your father-in-law is 10 years old, so we can't litigate with him, just like Sumchus said. That's how Rabbi Ovin Paskin says, even though you have a valid proof, because you have Adam that you lived there for 3 years in your father-in-law's presence, nevertheless, we can't bring the case to court because he is a katan. Here he says, why not? Below, Vaktani, we just learned the Chachamim hold Ben Gedolim, Ben Ketanim Chayavim. In the case where the property is extant, so then the Katan can be brought to court and have to be forced to return the Gneva. So I have valid proof. Nobody's arguing about my Edim, they're valid Edim. I made a Kinyan Chazaka in this property for 3 years while my father-in-law was still alive, and therefore I should be able to take it to court, like the opinion of the Chacham says. So Rav Abba says, no, I'm sorry. Amalei, Hari Machokes, Sumchus Bitzidcha. But Sumchus argues with the Chachamim, and we pass on like Sumchus. Rav Yirmiyahu says, why are we passing like a Das Yochid? Amar, Ich Bab Kuli Alba, the whole world has gotten together, V'koyin Kisumchus, Li'av Kui L'didi, to go take away that which belongs to me. We're passing like a Das Yochid against the Rabbim. So that doesn't make any sense. Nope. Adachi, meanwhile, Igal Gal Milsa, this story came, and also Matal Kami to Rabbi Yavo. The matter came to Rabbi Yavo. Apparently, Rav Ovin didn't make a psak halacha, so they brought it up. Rav Ovin listened to Rav Yirmiyah's arguments and was impressed with them and said, no, why should we pass in like Sumchas? Maybe we should pass in like the Chachamim, even though he had a tradition that we pass in like Sumchas. No, and they brought the matter to Rabbi Yavo to adjudicate. Rabbi Yavo paskind Omar. Lo shmiya lechu, hadar Rav Yosef bar Chama, omer Rav Hoshaya. Haven't you heard of the following din? Rav Yosef bar Chama said over the name of Rav Hoshaya. What was that? The omer Rav Yosef bar Chama, omer Rav Hoshaya. He said the following. Tinok shetokaf bi'avodav. You have the case here where a child under the age of bar mitzvah, tokaf bi'avodav. Rashi says, tokaf bi'avodav means shalokach avodav. But we took adult men with him, these avodim, shiisayu, that they should help enforce what he was going to do. He would have a little bit of muscle with him. Alternatively, Rashi says, the lishnachrina, alternatively, he brings down the name of Marshal, shetokaf biavodav, he took these avodim, viyamashalihim, that these avodim are mine. So that's what it was. In any event, Tidok shetokaf these avodav, viyarav letok soder shel chaveiro, and he goes and takes possession of a field that belonged to his friend, viyamashalihu, this is my field. So, ein omrim, we don't say, namtim ad shiyagdil. We don't say, well, the katan now is in the field, wait till he grows up, and we'll adjudicate the case then. No, we throw him out of that field right now. Ulech shiyagdil, no, if he has a valid claim to the field, when he becomes a bar mitzvah, then he can go to court. Yavi edim nir. Then we'll adjudicate the case then, we'll worry about it then. But even though he's a katan, we throw him out of the property right now. So we see that the halacha, in fact, follows the chachamim, and we do adjudicate a case with the carton. We don't say, well, the carton's on the field, so that's it. We have to wait till it becomes a gadol to adjudicate the case. No, the carton jumped onto this field. We don't adjudicate the case with the carton right now. We wait till he becomes a gadol, but we throw him off. So therefore, in Rav Yirmiyah's case as well, if the Edim are found to be true Edim, and he can prove that he has a chazaka in the land for 3 years in the presence of his father-in-law, then he should win the case. No, and when the katan grows up, if the katan can bring witnesses otherwise, or bring other proof, then we'll re-adjudicate the case. Now, that is what Rabbi Avo Paskin, to compare the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah with his brother-in-law, that's the katan, about the father-in-law's house. So we're comparing that to this case that Rabbi Yavo brought down in the name of Yosef Bar Chama Amar Voshaya, with the katan jumping and taking either the slaves or the field. So Gemara says, Midame, who says that those cases are in fact comparable? Hasam, in the case that Rav Hoshaya had ruled, Rav Yosef Bar Chama saying over the name of Rav Hoshaya that we in fact throw the katan off, that was different. Hasam, who, the mavkina mine, the lokaimale, achazoka diavua. There, everybody agreed that the wasn't a Yerusha that he got from his father. He just said, this is my field. And he didn't have proof. So therefore, just because he's a strong-armed guy and he brings his slaves there to go take the field, or he claims that these slaves are his, he has no proof. So therefore, we return them to the original owner. Because unless you have proof, we're going to go and adjudicate this case with the court now. No, later on, you come back with proof. We'll look at it again. So that was the case that Rav Yosef Bar Chama said in the name of Rav Hoshaya, that we go and take the field away from the katan. Take the slaves away from the katan. Because we have no proof that he ever owned them. Aval, in this case, with you, Rav Yirmiyah, everybody agreed that this was your father-in-law's field. You're claiming he sold it to you. But we have a bari that it was your father-in-law's field. And therefore, when the father-in-law dies, his son inherits it. Aval hecha di isle chazaka di avua. Here, your brother-in-law, the son of your father-in-law, he definitely has a legitimate claim to this. It was definitely his father. So he's saying, don't change anything around. And wait till I become a gadol to go adjudicate the din, and therefore, lo, you can't say that the two cases are comparable. So the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion what happened in the case of Rav Yirmiyah and the house of his father-in-law. Did Rav Yirmiyah get it, or did in fact the son of the father-in-law get to keep it? Okay. Amar Rav Shabsai. Rav Ashi says the name of Rav Shabsai, and he says, Mekablin Edim Shalom Bifnei Baal Din, that we do allow Edim to be brought to court, even though the litigants aren't both there. The person who is the Edim or coming against, he's not there. Nevertheless, the court can accept the Edim. Now, Toy Bo Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was shocked at this. Now, the Masoros HaShas brings down, this probably is not Rav Ashi, who is the redactor of the Gemara, who lived at the end of the Amoric period of time, because Rav Yochanan was the first generation of Amorim, and Rav Ashi is the last generation of Amorim, and therefore, this can't be the classical Rav Ashi that we have throughout Shas, because there's no way Rav Yochanan would be knowing what he said. He lived many years before him. So therefore, the Masoros HaShas suggests that this is a different Rav Ashi. There was a less well-known Rav Ashi that lived in the time of Rav Yochanan than the redactor of the Gemara, the Ravina Rav Ashi that we have at the end of the line of the Amorim. In any event, Rav Yochanan is surprised at this statement that Rav Ashi said in the name of Rav Shai that we accept Edim Shelo Bifnei Baal Din, because he says, V'chi Mekabel Edim Shelo Bifnei Baal Din, that's a basic rule that you can't go and bring Edim when both parties to the litigation aren't there, because you're not giving him a chance to go and prove why the witnesses are not correct. Now, Kibla mine Rav Yossi bar Chanina, how do you understand this? So Rav Yossi bar Chanina said, I myself heard this explanation from Rav Yochanan. Kigon shayahu chola. When did they in fact allow this? So Rav Yochanan was surprised at this, but he said, yeah, taka, under certain situations we do accept Edim Shelo Bifnei Baal Din. Under what circumstances? For example, if he was ill. Who was ill? So some suggest that this is talking about the person who is bringing the litigation. So he's on his deathbed or he's very sick. So if he's going to die soon, so the Yarshim aren't going to know what's going on. So he's bringing all the proofs right now. And in this situation, even though the other party isn't there, since he's on his deathbed, we will go and accept it. That's a simple way to understand this. Or, alternatively, oh, Edim Cholim, or the witnesses are sick. And if they don't testify now, it may be too late to wait a week when the other party will come. So therefore, the basin can hear the testimony now. Or, oh, show you Edim of Akshim Lelechim Dina Sayam. They're off on a business trip. They say, listen, we're going to Hong Kong. We're going to be there for 2 years. We don't have the ability to stay here longer. And either you listen to us now, or we're off and you'll never be able to use our testimony. So therefore, the basin has the right in this situation to go and hear their testimony, even not in the presence of the other Baal Din. Or Vishalchalo, or they keep on sending for the other litigant to come to the base, then Vobah, but he never shows up. So the first guy says, listen, he's not showing up. This is my proof, and adjudicate the case, accept my witnesses, even if the guy's not showing up. So those are the circumstances that Rav Yochanan said. That's where Rav Ashi said in the name of Rav Shamsai that Makabim Eden Shlobit Me Baal Din in these unusual extenuating circumstances. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Makabim Eden Shlobit Me Baal Din. Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, similarly, that we do accept Edim, not in the presence of the Baal Din. And here too, Amar Rav Ukva, Lididim, Farshalim, and Edishmuel, how can you understand this? Everybody agrees that you do have to have the Edim come in the presence of both Baal Edinim. So how do you understand that Yehuda and Shmuel said, similar to what we just brought down that Rav Yochanan explained, in the name of Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Shavsai, so too, Mar Ukva said that this din of Rav Yehuda and Shmuel only applies, and I heard this from Shmuel myself, could go into Pachsu Le Bedine, where they had already started the litigation, Vishalchu Le Vilawasa, and the guy didn't come. The other party didn't show up to court. Avil, Lo Pachsu Le Bedine, but the court case didn't start. So then the other litigant can say, listen, I don't want to be judged by you guys. I want to go to the Supreme Court. I'm going up to the Harabais. I know the base, and I go to the Leslina. I'm going up to the main court and have it adjudicated over there. And I don't want to be adjudicated over here in your locale. Mor says, Ihachi. So then, if he has the right to make that taina, even though the case started, Ki pasulei, nami motzi amalei, lebeis din agadol azilna. Why can't he say, even if the court case started, I don't want to be judged by you guys. I didn't realize that you guys are who you are. I wanted a real court. I want the best court. I want to go there. So why can't he say that? So Mor answers, I'm a Ravina. Kigom dinaka diska mi beis din agadol, because he has a diska. Rashi explains the disco is an igaris, be based in Agado, Shishoch, the base in Shokan, Lukufo. That the big court, the main court, said, no, we are giving this court in your locale the rights to go and adjudicate this case. Don't come to us. Go and have this adjudicated over there. So once the case started, so then he has to follow that psach. Before the case starts, he can have the right to say, no, I still want to go to the big base din, and have them adjudicate the case. Amar Rav, Rav tells us another din, Mekaimin is a shtar, Shelo Bifnei Baal Din. You can document that a shtar is a valid shtar, even if the other party isn't there. So Reuven is bringing a case against Shimon. He has a shtar. Shimon's not there. So Rav says, you can authenticate this shtar even though Shimon is not there. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Mar, Ein Kaven is a shtar, Shelo B'nei Baal Din. No, the Baal Din has to be there if you want to authenticate the shtar, to give him a chance to say, no, these are false witnesses, or this is why it's no good. Now, Amalei Rav Sheshes to Rav Asi Bar Avohu, Rav Sheshes said to Rav Yossi Bar Avohu, Asper L'cho, Taimi Rav Yochanan. I'll explain to you why Rav Yochanan says both litigants have to be there. Because the pasuk says, Amar Kra, V'hu Ad Biv Olav V'lo Yishrenu. The testimony was given while the owner was there. Biv Olav, that he didn't properly guard the animal. And therefore, the Torah is teaching us, Amar Torah, Yavo Bal Hashar, Yamur al Shoro. At the time that you're bringing the testimony, the litigants have to be there. So therefore, if the other litigant isn't there, Rav Yochanan says, you can't be Mekayim the Shtar if he's not present. How do we paskin? Amar Rava, Hilchasa, Mekayimin es Hashtar, Shelo B'nei Baal Din. Mekayimin es Hashtar, Shelo B'nei Baal Din, that we paskin like Rav in this situation over Rav Yochanan. We don't only paskin like Rav Yochanan over Rav, but here we paskin like Rav, that you can be Mekayim the Shtar even if it's not in the presence of both the Baalei Dinim. And even if the other Baal Din is screaming and standing that it's a false shtar. Even if he's in court and he says, I testify that this is not a good shtar. Nevertheless, we don't listen to him. And if they're able to authenticate the shtar, we go and authenticate the shtar. The guy is screaming, it's not an authentic shtar, but he has no proof why it's not an authentic shtar. He's just saying it's not an authentic shtar. So since he has no proof, we don't listen to him. However, if he says, listen, that's not an authentic shtar, but I need to go and find the witnesses who can prove it. V'yamar, Nikitu li zimno. Give me a little bit of time. Ad maisina sade, until I can find the witnesses, umarana leila shtar, they can prove that this is not a good shtar. So give me time. So then, nakitinan le. We do give him time. And if he, let's say we give him 30 days. E also, and if he comes within the 30 days and brings the proof, so then we accept it also. However, e lo also, if he doesn't come, and at the end of 30 days, the guy still hasn't come, so then, we give him another Monday, Thursday, Monday. So the court says, listen, come. Basin was sitting on Mondays and Thursdays. And they said, no, come on Monday. He doesn't show up. No, come on Thursday. He doesn't show up. No, come on the following Monday. And if he still hasn't shown up, e lo asa, so now we put him in chayrim because he's not coming to the litigation. So therefore, kasvin and pesicha, Rashi says pesicha is a shtar shamta, that's to put him into excommunication, into shamta, al she'en pareacho, that he doesn't go and pay his debt. He was supposed to come here and prove to us that the shtar wasn't authentic. He didn't come. The shtar was authenticated. He owes the money. And now he's still not showing up. So then we put him into chayrim for 90 days. Kasvin and pesicha ilave tishin yomim. Now, during the first 30 days, tlasin kamai lo nachtina lenichse, we don't go into his property and pay the debt off. Because we argue, the gear that we have is the Amar, but it should be the Amor, kotarach bezuze v'nezu. Because Mistam, he's very busy gathering the money. So therefore, we don't go and take it. Because Mistam is going to pay it off. During the middle 30 days, Mitzioi, nami lo nachtina lenichse, we don't go and take his property away from him during the middle 30 days because we say he wasn't able to borrow the money. We have the gears of the Amor, it should be the Amor. Duma lo ashkach lemeza v'kotarach umezadin. So he wasn't able to go and find anybody to lend him the money. So now he's selling off his properties. And the last 30 of the 90 days, we also don't go yet into his properties. Bas right nami lo nachtino l'nechse, because, again, it should be the gears, so it should be the Amor. We have the Amor. Lo keach gufe kotarach mezuzah. He found the buyer, and that buyer has to go get the money to go and pay for the field that he's buying, and that's for the last 30 days. But at the end of the 90 days, lo asa, he still hasn't brought the money, then kasvinan adrachta anichse. Then we go and write a document that allows the other litigant to go and take his property. The basin will authorize the taking of the second litigant, the taking of the property of the guy that didn't ever bring proof that the shtar wasn't real. So we've accepted the shtar, and Reuven says, Shimon owes me money. Shimon never was able to fight it, and therefore, at the end of this 90-day period of time, we write a shtar that allows Reuven to go into the property of Shimon and take that property. Now, the Gemara mentions that this is only true, that we have a 90-day period of time which we don't go and to go into his property and pay off his debt. That's only Hani Mili de Omar Asina. That's what he keeps on telling us. I'll come to base it. However, Aval Omar Lo Asina, but the guy says right away, hey, I'm not coming. So then, Li Alter Kazvin, and then we're allowed to go write this Shtar Adrachta. You're allowed to go and write this document. Right? He says, Psak Din Le Reid Hamalva Latokun Shosim Shalova, to give him the authorization, the collection of this Lilitaim Bishuma Bechovu, and go and evaluate how much it's worth and go and collect his debt. So then, if he says, I ain't coming, they're allowed to write the Shtar Drachta right away. Furthermore, this is also only dealing Vahani Mili Belova. This is when you're dealing with a loan. However, if this was a Pikadom that he gave him over, not a loan, so he had no right to go and keep this item, Avo Pikadom La'alter Kasvin. And then we also go and write the Shtar Drachta right away. Then the Gemara tells us, when we do write the Shtar Adrachta, we only write it Amikar Koi. We only allow him to go and collect from properties that this person has, but not Avolo mi metaltali lo, but not from his movable property, from metaltali. So they can write this Shtar Adrachta to go and collect his land, to go and collect his house, but they can't go and put his car in foreclosure. They can't go and take the car. Dilma, because maybe if in fact shomit v'ochelhu malve l'metaltali, because if in fact the person who lent the money was able to go and take metaltali, then v'chiasi love umaisi sade umarale l'shtara. What's going to happen? Eventually, maybe this guy really will bring along witnesses that show that it was falsely taken from him, that that shtar that he had used to collect actually was a false document, and he'll eventually go bring witnesses and say, "Your document wasn't good. Pay me back the metaltali, maybe lo mishkach midi lemigba." The metaltali will be all gone, and he won't be able to get his money. However, the islay mekarkoi lemalve kasvidim. But if he has karka, they can be used as a lien against that. So then we wouldn't even allow them to write the shtar drachta to go and collect metaltali, because even if he used up the metaltali, he would always have karka that they could go and get back the money that was falsely taken from them with the incorrect original document. Mar says, in fact, that's a problem for Lohi, because maybe Adracht Amitatli Lokasvina, no matter what, we don't write a collection document for Metaltli, because Afa got the Islam Karkar, because maybe he does have Karka, there would be a lien against that incorrect seizure of the money. Nevertheless, Kaishinon Shema Tachzid. We have to be concerned, as Rashi says, Karko Shomalve Tovar the Tifchos Midame. Maybe the value will go down, and then there really won't be a method for him to go get back the Metaltli that were eaten up. Eidigmore says, V'chi chazvin an adrachta modi'in onle. And when we write the shtar adrachta, we have to let the person know who borrowed the money that we're writing this shtar adrachta. But v'hani mila the mikrav, that's only if he's right there. Avo me'erchak lo, if he's far away, so then we don't have to trouble ourselves to make sure that he knows about it before we write the shtar adrachta. But v'i mirchak, if he's nearby, but v'i ka krovim, or inami ikar sharyasa the ozlevi asu hasam, but either there are krovim that are nearby, or that there are caravans that regularly go to the place where he is. So then we do try to notify him, and mashinim le tracer yarchi shasa, and then we give him 12 months to go and delay the collection to give him a chance to go and fight it still one last time. So if there are either relatives that will make sure that he knows, or if there are caravans going there so he can be informed, so then we will not send a shaliach of Beis Din just like that to go tell this guy is far away. But if there are relatives that will let him know, or if there are caravans going there back and forth that can let him know, then we do wait. As there was such a case, he heard the Ravina. One time Ravina was adjudicating such a case, and Shahal Mar Achar, and he waited for Mar Achar, that was the name of the person who was trying to collect the money, to wait to collect the money. Shahal Mar Achar, Tracer Yarche Shosa. He waited 12 months, an entire year, to go and notify the person that they were going to go take the Shtar Drachta from. Ad Azli V'Asya Shayosa Mibechozoya. Until there was a Shayara, until a caravan came, and they were able to go and find the person and let him know. However, the Gemara finally concludes and says, Velohi, that is not the truth. Bottom line is, in that case with Ravina, that was a unique case. Why was it unique? Because Hossam Inish Ali Mahaba, that guy was a powerful guy. And this Mar'acha, if Ihavya Macha Adrachta Liyadeh, if they'd given him this Shtar Adrachta, Lo Hava Efsha Lafukimine, he never would have gotten given up the property that he took with the Shtar Adrachta. He was a tough guy. And therefore, in this situation, Ravina wanted to give the person, before he lost the property, every chance to go and substantiate his side of the story. Abohacha, in general, lo nefrin le. If the guy's not a strong-armed guy, so then you don't wait. Ela ad azu shlicha b'tlasa b'shabasa. You just wait enough time that the court can send the messenger. He passed it on Monday, so they would send the messenger out on Tuesday. But also the arba b'shabasa, and he would reach the guy on Wednesday. Ulchamisha b'shabasa kor b'dina, and he would then come to court on Thursday. Again, they judged that the courts on Mondays and Thursdays, so they would give him time to come on Thursday. If he didn't come on Thursday, so then the case was closed and the shtar drachta was written. But this way, he would have a chance to go and fight the shtar drachta when he came to the Beis Din on Thursday. Amar Ravina. Ravina said further, "Hai shlucha the rabbanon." When the rabbi sent this shaliach to go and deliver this news, mehem ninon le kibetre. We believe him that he actually delivered the news, and that the guy said, "I'm not coming." So we believe him as if he was two witnesses. Again, we only said one shaliach, though we trust him like they were true. But this is only v'hani mili l'shamta. That's only to put the guy into Chayrim, into Shamta. As we said, if he doesn't show up, so then we put him into Shamta. So we believe him, one witness, for that regard. Avo lepsicha, but to go and write the shtar of Shamta, that we don't do. Avo lepsicha, kiven the mamonikum chasle, since he, the person who's being put into Shamta, is going to have to pay for the writing of the shtar and to undo the chayrim if it's undone. The koboy le lemesav le zuzi le safra, we make him pay for the writing up of this shtar, of this pesicha, the shtar Shamta. So therefore, that is something that we require two witnesses for. So to put him into chayrim, that we will go and do it. However, but to write up a shtar that he's in chayrim, that we won't do, because that costs money and that would take two witnesses to go and do. Just one more din. Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Yavina zimna apuma de issa. We can go and deliver this idea that you have to come to the court even with a woman who normally would not be kosher liedus, but we allow a woman to go and be the shaliach of the Beis Din. And as well, the apuma de shivve. And as well, through the neighbors going and telling the person you were summoned to court. Rashi explains, this woman, Haolecha, says, was going to him anyway, Lefi Darka, in her normal route. Oh, Api Shechenov, or the neighbors, the Samchinan Alayu, Davin and Shluchu Sayyid, and we trust that they will do what the Beis Din is asking to do. Ilo Asi, and therefore, if the guy doesn't come to court, Mechasekinan, Biaf Kerusa, Meshamtinan Le, and if he doesn't show up, we assume that they did what they were supposed to do, and therefore we can put him into Chayrim. However, the Gemara says, Ilo Amorin Ela B'delese B'mosa. This is only true, the person is not in the area where the court is, and we turn to Kufi Gimel Aleph. I will easily be masif. The guy's in town, then we don't rely upon the woman or the neighbors to go and do this. No, we don't rely upon them. Damrina, we say, Amar lo amar leh, because maybe they didn't go and actually fulfill that function. The army, they said, Ashechinu shlicha the Beis Dina the amar leh. They'll assume, well, probably the Beis didn't send somebody else who knew I was supposed to do this, but I didn't get a chance. I was busy, so we can't assume that it was done. So if they're in the same town, we don't have the right to trust them. Similarly, the law one, we only said that we trust them, the woman or the neighbors, Ella the lo cholif above the beidina. That's only if the person didn't go and pass by the court himself. The person who's being summoned didn't pass by the court. Because if he did pass by the court, the cholif above the beidina, so then we can't rely upon the woman or the neighbors, lo, because they will mistama say, Amri, Ashkechua beidina, Yamri le, mistama, the guy's passing by the court every day. Somebody yelled out to him, hey, you better show up in court or else we're going to put you in chayim. So they can't rely upon the woman or the neighbors in that situation. And finally, the last scenario, the law one, we only said you can rely upon the woman and the neighbors if it wasn't Elo D'Asi B'Yomei. We only rely upon the woman and the neighbors if the guy is coming home that day. Avalo Asi B'Yomei, but if he's not coming back that day, no, we can't assume that the woman and the neighbors definitely will remember to do it the next day, the day after that, the day after that. Because we could easily argue, Emo, Ishtaluye Ishtale. Maybe they forgot. Okay, the same day, we can have a presumption that they mistama told them. But who knows for sure that they remember the next day, the day after, was a week later, and therefore we can only rely upon the woman and the neighbors that they fulfilled what Beis Din asked them to do, if it's under the circumstances where there's no chance that they would err and, in fact, would go and tell the guy that you're going to be put into Chayim unless you show up in the Beis Din. With this, we conclude today's shir.